USI never had it so good. 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports Talk Radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station. There ain't no difference when the king goes sick.
As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Just a thought, James T. Deshaies. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshaies2.com. That's James D. Deshaies, the number 2.com. Hello, everyone. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, you know, I'm always here and appreciating the support that you give me and the opportunity that I have to share my thoughts with you and talk about issues that impact our lives today and in the future. And today is no different. Today I just want to spend some time talking to you about O.J. Simpson and whether or not he has spent all the capital that we have in terms of our emotions, in terms of our empathy, our sympathy, regarding him as an individual. You know, a lot of times we have certain expectations of people who get out of a terrible situation. We want to believe that they will learn from that dangerous situation they were in and sit back and reflect and live their lives in peace. But Mr. Simpson found it necessary to re-engage the justice system after being found acquitted of his wife's murder, and found himself in jail again since 2008, and now is asking for the sympathy of another body, another judicious body, to allow him to get out early. And I'm just asking the question today, should we spend any more of our time, emotions, and thoughts to this individual who's made a lot of bad choices after leaving the NFL? And, you know, we as a people seemingly are always there to rescue people who just don't get it, who find themselves continuously doing things that are not in their best interest. This is a man who was allowed to go free after looking like the very person that murdered two people, who was allowed to go free and to take care of the needs of his son and his daughter. But yet he still could not engage in activities that would keep him out of trouble. So he finally gave himself back to the justice system and now finds himself at 70 years old begging to be allowed to go free again. And I just want to discuss, because it's not just about O.J. Simpson. It's about all people who find themselves in situations where we give them our heart and our sympathy and our empathy, and they ask for us to support them through their tragical times. And then when we do it, they turn around and get right back in the same situation again and want us to be there again. You know, how often can we be asked, those of us who live our lives outside of the justice system, outside of jails, how often can we continue to be asked to come to the aid of those who seemingly allow the correction system to be their environment of choice? Hello, Cheryl. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Cheryl, I'm coming today and just talking about, and I'm using O.J. Simpson as the headline, but the fact is we know, individually know individuals who are constantly taking away from our peace, our drama-free environments to get us engaged in the foolishness that they are involved in. So I'm asking, you know, here we are, the media is taking us there again. O.J. Simpson will be asked the parole board to allow him to leave on July 20th, and it has been suggested that he has been a model inmate, but the truth is he brought this all on himself. And so just like in our families, people continuously do things over and over again and want our sympathy, our empathy, and our money to support them in their bad choices, how often are we required to give our emotions to that negativity?
I'm not even know if I'm the right person on this conversation, because for the simple reason, when it comes to spending our money, the media, I'm not for that at all. I really wasn't for the fact of how publicized the case was, how we use our taxpayers' dollars, you know, for something like this, you know, something like that. When it comes to, you know, if a person has been reformed, I guess it's hard for me to not to give a person another chance. And that's me personally, because I always say, you know, his mercy and his grace. And when I want mercy and grace, you know, I think about the next person too. So when it comes to how many chances, I can't say that how many chances to our taxpayers' dollars and the media getting involved and our time that was spent, because I just thought it was ridiculous that it was on the media, you know, with the O.J. Simpson trial and how we do spend our taxpayers', you know, dollars on things such as this and not on maybe the right thing. But I always say, you know, we never get away with anything in life. Now, I do know that I feel like it should be a mental evaluation. I don't know, you know, what his what he was doing inside. And I can also say, I know a lot of people will say, you know, I got it, you know, once I get out, this is the way I'm going to be. But they can say that on the inside because they're not faced what is going to become on the outside. So do I think that, you know, we should give people chances over and over? I think each situation is different. Do I think that we should, the media should just, you know, go away? I mean, you know, just handle it the way it's been handled? No. Do I think our tax dollars are being wasted for it? Yes. So, by me being the Christian that I am, you know, I always say his mercy and his grace. And I know, you know, even the things that may go on in my head that nobody else may not know about it, I still ask for his mercy and his grace. But if we're going to put somebody back into society that's going to be a harm to other people, I would say no. But I haven't had the opportunity personally, and I haven't heard anybody say anything about evaluating this person, you know, O.J. Simpson, or what they do as far as evaluating a person before they put them back out into society. So that's where I am, you know, with his case in the media.
Okay. D, you know, we've been bombarded for over a month or so, and actually as far back as his big movie was done about the case again, where we've been dealing with the fact that he's coming up for parole again, and now he's 70 years old. But I'm trying to broaden the conversation, not only just about him, but about any inmate who has had an opportunity to be free, but has yet chosen to recommit a crime and find themselves back in jail. How much capital should we give them? How much of our emotional spirit should be allowed to be tapped into by people who seemingly won't go somewhere and sit down and live their life in the right manner? You know, we sympathize with O.J. Simpson and the situation, but the true fact is this man left a life that most of us won't ever know. I heard the other day that O.J. Simpson is, the NFL owes him like millions of dollars since he's been incarcerated, because his retirement was $20,000 a month. So since he's been incarcerated,
they had been holding $20,000 a month for him, and he will be a multimillionaire once he gets out. And so here we are, someone who could have been somewhere sitting down and trying to get past the horrific issues that were a part of his life, but he chose to revisit that environment. So, you know, how are we to respond as people who go about our lives living in peace and drama-free, how much are we supposed to give our lives to those who can't seemingly find their way?
Dang, that's an excellent question. And, you know, to me, there's not an easy answer right off the top of the head. But I think what I would have to do is to look at my own life to better give a fair answer as to what I would hope someone would do for me, and the way God and persons that I've hurt in my life have also done in relationship to that. Most of you all know my history. And so the tough question is, will the media, the extensive media coverage of O.J. Simpson's life, would popular demand give him a chance to re-enter into society and go on with his life? Would they even give him what's the popular answer when it comes down to should O.J. be released? Now, I would love to hear the answer coming just right off the rip. I would love to hear the answer of that question come from a white person. Because Ms. Shara just made a great point. And here's the point. I remember when I was strung out on drugs, and I ran my mother through all sorts of uncomfortable situations. And then when finally I decided to actually go somewhere and sit down for a while, like you're saying, and better evaluate my own life and said, look, now, this is getting old. And I'm sick and tired of it. Lord, please help me to get myself together. And he did. And coming out and being a part of my mother's life again, I asked her one day, I said, Mom, I said, how is it that you are able to forgive me for all the stupid things that I did and did to you? And the answer was the same answer that Ms. Cheryl just gave you. And it was, I had to, because how else can I expect him, our Lord, to forgive me? So my point is, I would love you to, for a white person, without just hearing my answer, though. You can't piggyback off my answer and give that answer. This answer has to come straight from your heart. Does O.J. Simpson, despite what you may believe about the original case, does he deserve a second chance? And the answer would have to be yes if you are a person of faith like they say they are. And that's been a question I've been posing for quite some time. Do both races, the Caucasian race and the African American race, do we serve the same God? Because that question right there would kind of put the icing on the cake, whether we do or whether we don't. But I would love to see him give another chance. Do I think he's ready? I can only hope that he has spent his time wisely. Personality wise, we know that he's kind of like Donald Trump. He's kind of full of himself. But hopefully this will be the lesson that he needs to where he can come out on the outside, sit down somewhere, go and buy an island or something, live on an island, and get away from the media circus, because they will drag you right back into where you are. That's what they do. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's amazing. As I talk to you guys, I get a different perspective. And when we think about it, African Americans are constantly being demoralized by the outcomes of jury trials on a regular basis. When we think the acquittal of people or the release of people or hung juries that allow people to go free, when we know they have done something or believe they've done something to victimize us as a people. And certainly I believe that O.J. was convicted and sentenced to a lot of time because a lot of people believed he got away with the first crime. But the fact is that O.J. had a chance, an opportunity to get away from the media and from the system if he would have just allowed himself to go to Miami and just live his life in peace. But so often we are dealing with people who reoffend. And you know that we can't seem to get away from George Zimmerman. He is constantly getting back in the news. You find people who have been allowed to get free that just have a type of spirit that are constantly getting them reconvicted on all kinds of things. You know, and so you are right. You know, as believers, we're asked to forgive and to sympathize and empathize with those who seemingly can't find their way back, because you don't want to give on a person who just needs you one more time. You know, but I have seen situations where people have been tested beyond their abilities and who make all kind of sacrifices for the person they love at their own demise. Incredibly difficult to see someone destroying themselves by giving away their emotional and their financial capital to support bad behavior. So, Cheryl, we, you know, as Christians, how often can we just allow ourselves to be taken down those dark roads?
Well, you know, when I think, and again, I'm going to put myself, you know, in that place. I've never been where I've been in any kind of trouble of that magnitude, you know, or even thought that. But say that the things that I may have done when I was younger, and it could have been simple, maybe towards, you know, someone else, and I didn't get it at the time, and I may have done something else again to hurt somebody unintentionally. And I'm using those examples because those are part of my life. And, you know, I went back and asked for forgiveness. And as the word tells us, you know, we are to forgive. And if we don't forgive, how do we expect to be forgiven? And that's how I look at that. I'm not the judge. And, you know, that God judges us. So when it comes to me trying to judge somebody, I can't. But I can, on the other hand, say that I would like to know that he would be reformed, you know, coming back out, that he has gotten the help that he needs. And I really, you know, say again, that the media plays too much of a role, and our taxpayers' dollars is wasted on all the publicity over, you know, and over again. But as far as forgiving, I mean, if I expect to be forgiven, I think, you know, I forgive others.
All right, we're going to come back after this break and continue our conversation related to our feelings and emotions, related to not only O.J. Simpson, but to anybody who takes us, our thoughts and our feelings and our support for granted. The host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to ask you guys about another situation that I'm very close to and familiar with, and I just want to get an overall sense of where you all are related to how you would extend your support to a child that has lost his way. And what I mean by that, if you had spent a lot of time and emotion talking to a kid to try to keep them out of trouble and kind of trying to keep them out of harm's way, and you were giving them financial support, giving them housing, and just giving them encouragement and doing all you can, but they were just bound and determined to go in a different direction. I have someone who I know personally who was spending a lot of time talking to me about their son and the issues he was having. And his son got caught up into a problem related to a murder charge. And this young man found himself in jail for first-degree murder. His father and his mother had to move in together in order to get him a good lawyer, and it was going to cost them $40,000 to get this help for their son. And during that time, the 2 and 3 years he's been in lockup, they've been providing him with commissary and for the ability to make phone calls. Probably is upwards to another 10,000 possibly. So when you think about being in a situation where two parents who have never had $50,000 in their hand at any one time and who have had to deal with their son constantly by trying to assist him, and they did help him because he's not the one who actually was involved in the murder, but he was close enough to it that he's going to have to spend 5 years possibly in jail. So the life that he was facing, that good lawyer has helped him to reduce that. But at the cost of these parents living together when they were never married, but living together in order to pool their resources to the extent of 50 grand. Now, is that what parents are supposed to do at their own demise? Dee, what are your thoughts? You know, I mean, are you prepared and willing to sacrifice it all for someone you've been telling that they've been going in the wrong direction?
Well, James, you know, if you had asked me that question 10 years ago, as I explained yesterday, I see things when it comes to life a little differently in a broader perspective. But to answer your question, I would say that is probably part of the parent's journey. As uncomfortable as that is, them being brought together under these circumstances, hopefully there's something good and glorious that can become of that. Sorry that the demise of the son, life had to be put on hold, but due to God's grace now that he only got 5 years to do as opposed to life or the gas chamber or whatever method they use these days, this again gives him opportunity now to sit down somewhere and evaluate his past life and his up and coming life. And see, and that's my story. I'm a very, very fortunate person. The way I see life now is I'm the type of person that has had the opportunity to live two lives, and I think that's very unique. So hopefully when he comes out, he can start making a better example and start mentoring to other young men that associate themselves with troublesome situations. And so hopefully that can be the outcome of that. And that's the way I see that right now, James.
You know, I spent 10 years in corrections helping inmates get their GED. And I always tried to be a strong male figure when I was in that environment. And a lot of those young men could have been my son. And I saw a lot of young men go away for a long period of time for a lot of silly different things. And I've said to my daughter that if she was accused of something that I believe she did not do, then I would use every vehicle under my power to assist her. But if in my heart I believed that she allowed herself to victimize somebody or do a crime, then she would have to have a public defender. I just couldn't see my way to spending tens of thousands of dollars if I believed my child was guilty. But, you know, that's what I say, being that I'm not in that situation. And a lot of times as parents, like you say, Dee, we come to the rescue even when we know there are some serious issues with our child because we've lived with them and we know what they're capable of doing. And on the outside looking in, it just seems that it is a horrific thing for a parent to go through than to, you know, to take the side of their child and find themselves destroying their own financial situation in order to support that child. Regina, what are your thoughts about having to continuously support individuals who seemingly cannot get out of the rotation of going in and out of jail? We were talking about O.J. Simpson and all the emotional capital he's already spent on through us, and now he's trying to get paroled. And should we even be attach ourselves to that? And to bring it home, even in the same instance with people we love and people who call on us on a regular basis, always telling us that they're in trouble.
Well, good evening. You were actually, what you're talking about tonight in this segment is probably my story for the past, I would say, 20, 21 years. Constantly going to the rescue of my daughter, constantly going to the rescue, spending money for programs, and just because I was her mother and I understood that someone had to believe in her. Someone had to believe and have faith in her and keep encouraging her and believe that somewhere within all of that, there was some good. To consistently throw bad money after good money, or good money, whatever the terminology is. Some people would question that, but if it's not your child, you have the right to question, because we live in a free will society, because it's my money. You don't have a right to question what I do with my money. I would also say that looking back on my past experiences with my child, I'm successful in my speaking engagement now because I tell the truth and I tell people what I did, which was not beneficial to her. The hovering and the covering, beneficial, because it did not give her a sense of ownership to what she did. And she always, you know, expected me to bail her out. Even when she knew she was wrong, she would do wrong because she knew her mother would bail her out. And she would say that. And once I heard her express that, that was when I stopped because I was not benefiting her. So that person that you're talking about, James, they have to see the error in their ways for themselves. They have to get tired. They have to get tired of going to the jail. I never went to the jail. I'm talking about in the school system. But they have to get tired at some point. Once tired, then they'll stop and some sense will come into them. As far as O.J. Simpson is concerned, he's not even a part of my society. He's in trouble because he was dealing with those white folks. So what happens, happens. Let the other white folks get him out. It's not the black community's responsibility to get him, to bail him out, in my opinion. Going back to my daughter, she's doing very well now. Once I let her accept her consequences, she still didn't have to go to jail or anything, but she realized that mama wasn't going to bail her out anymore, and she slowed down tremendously.
Cheryl, where does tough love come in if we're not willing to see our children or our family members suffer through some of their actions?
It's really hard, and it's a case-by-case situation. And a lot of times, I totally agree exactly, you know, what was said about, you know, we can't tell somebody how to feel about their child and what to do with their money. But I do realize, and I had a family member that was on drugs, and, you know, in the beginning, I didn't understand the magnitude of the drug situation because I had never, you know, been around nobody like that and understood. And I felt, to some extent, I became an enabler. You know, if money was asked of me, I gave it to them, you know, and believed what they said. But then when I realized that I was become an enabler, I had to stop. And it hurts because I had to see them go through all the things they went through. But when they got sick and tired of going through
all right.
and didn't have a way to get what they needed no more, they
mm-hmm.
went into rehab for a long, extensive time, 2 years, and today back in society doing better than most people are. So it's hard when you see your family members or your children, whoever it is that's close to you, you know, going through it, and we are enablers to certain, you know, point, but we have to learn as well as help them to be able to learn too. And it's not always easy because it hurts us, you know, tremendously watching a loved one go through something that we could, you know, say give it to them. And I, you know, my situation, and I deal more with people with food where they just give their children, you know, food over and over again, and it's not beneficial to them, but they don't want to tell them no. And then when they get to the point that they realize, once they didn't got a doctor visit and saying, you know, how much this child is suffering and you killing the child, and they realize and they begin to do better. But some, you know, we all, I mean, by us being human and with our emotions being involved, we don't always do it the right way in the beginning. And we have to learn just as though, you know, our family and loved ones have to learn. So, like I said, it's, you know, it's a case by case. But if we could learn faster, it would be so much better. But we just don't always do it, you know, at that time.
Well,
James,
you know, yeah, go ahead, Regina.
I would also like to add that with my daughter's situation, it just didn't amazingly come into my head that I was enabling her, because counselors would tell me, okay, you've got to let her bump her head. But because of the love that I had, and I refused, you know, because I was believing that everybody was, you know, nobody understood. But it was because of counseling. And a lot of times, not only the person who is suffering or committing the crime or doing the acts need counseling, but their family members need it so that they can get it ingrained into their heads that you are not helping this person. And a lot, you know, counseling and therapy is not something that we like to hear in our society. So that's how I, you know, really came to grips with, okay, I've got to let her bump ahead so she can feel it hurts. Because I was actually getting I was bumping my head. It was hurting me more than it was her. I was taking the bump for her.
And I have to be honest, I only knew of that situation on a personal basis as my daughter was a juvenile, and her and a group of girls went to a store, and one of the girls was shoplifting, and now all three of the girls got caught. And we went to I decided as a parent that my child needed to go through one of their pre-programs, one of their pre-conviction programs, so to speak, so that they would not take her to juvenile court. And so I admitted her into that program. And that was because I was not going, even though she told me she did not shoplift, I was not going to support her bad behavior, because she made a decision to skip school. She said she was sick. Well, why are you going to the mall if you're sick? And so she made a lot of choices that were incorrect choices that needed for her to face some consequences. Now, again, that was never revisited again. And so it's important to, I guess, understand or realize where you should give support and where support should be withheld. Dee, you're raising young children, and you're going to, you know, you have to decide, even when they have not done anything wrong. I remember my mother, I came home and said, I quit football, and my mother didn't even like football. And her statement with me was, who told you could quit something? You know, so we're always teaching our children rules. So she made me, and I don't know if y'all know, understand this. You don't know how humbling it is to have to call a coach and beg to be back on the team when you don't talk to all that trash when you were throwing his equipment on the ground. But my mother made me find his number, call him back, and beg him to be back on the team. And that's how she did that. She didn't do things for my comfort.
High school or college?
Excuse me?
Was that high school or college?
Actually, that was middle school. it was middle school. And I ain't quit another thing since.
Well, look, let me shed some light on what it is that we're actually talking about. And we're actually talking about enabling. And Jane, that's why I love your show, because, you know, we can go through life, all through our life, and we can enable our children, and they won't learn a daggum thing about life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they do have to get their own bumps and the bruises, you know. I remember my oldest son, when he was about 7 or 8, his teacher called us and told us that he had a habit of talking back to them, to the teachers. And of course we don't allow that in our house, but you know, when they get around their peers, they have to kind of flex their muscles a little bit. So he displayed the attitude of wanting to talk back to his teachers. Well, what I did was I took him around the neighborhood and made him pick up trash throughout the whole neighborhood. And I put a tag on his back that said work detail, I talk back to my teachers. And my neighbors thought I had lost my mind. But the fact of the matter is that I was raising a child to be a man. And sometimes we have to bite the tough bullet to do that. So here just the other day, a week ago, one of my newer kids found it necessary to sneak a cookie out of the cookie, a honey bun. And so when I came home, he was licking his hand. I said, "Why are you licking your hand?" I'm trying to keep my hands clean, right? And so as I made my way into the house, I noticed that this box of honey buns had been opened, and he had snuck the honey bun. Well, I made him watch an episode of Scared Straight. And if that wasn't enough, my wife's brother is an undercover police officer. So she called him and had him come to the house in full uniform with the handcuffs in his hands to come and give them a taste of what it would be like if you steal and if you lie. And let me tell you, they were screaming through the house like little girls. They didn't want to go to jail. But these are the tough lessons that they got to learn, because inevitably what we're trying to do, we're trying to save the life. And we all know in present time, here in 2017, that I'm not over-exaggerating. We're trying to save their lives. And so sometimes we have to tug our own shirt tail in and say, well, you know, and here's the prayer. Here's the prayer that I have to pray. And I think this is the prayer that my mama prayed for me. And the prayer is, Lord, do with him what you will in order for him to learn. But if it's your will, please don't let him die. And that's the bottom line. Let him go through it. Let him go through it. Let him go to jail. Like we were talking about, the lady had to go to jail for the inconvenience, but in the back end she came out because she's probably going to sue the city. But a little bit of jail ain't going to hurt nobody. Because sometimes you just have to go, and you go and sit down and evaluate. You smell the stench of jail. And when you get out of jail, the stench will be in your clothes and in your skin. So you come home and take a real bath. But then that gives you the opportunity to realize that that's not a place for you, and and then you move on from there. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to go take our break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Alone. Gotta change the station, so I turn the dial, trying to catch a break. And then I hear baby face. I only think of you. And it's breaking my heart. I'm trying to keep it together, but I'm falling apart. I'm feeling all out of my element. Going safe, trying, trying to figure out where the hell I went wrong. The pain reflected in the song. It even happened when I'm feeling inside. I need you back in my life, baby. When you left, I lost a part of me. And it's still so hard to believe. Come back, baby, because
we belong together.
Who's am I gonna leave? No one time to around. Who's gonna talk to me on the phone till the sun comes out? Who's gonna take your place? There ain't nobody better.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money, and consequently, that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you are concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
This is James T. Deshae, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Cheryl, our children and our family are our most valuable commodity, and we really truly can't afford to lose any of them, and we don't want to see their lives destroyed unnecessarily. But we do have to determine how we get them to see the world as we see it to keep them from destroying themselves. So I guess I'm asking you, how do we find that middle ground where we can make sure that we're doing the right thing by them and not helping them to destroy themselves?
You're so right when you say that our children are our greatest commodity because they are our future. And we try to protect them in everything that comes. And that's not us.
You know, it is so unimaginable to have to go through our existence and watching our kids deal with some of the toughest things that are out there for them to deal with. You know, we never want any of our kids to have to deal with incarceration or to deal with being victimized by someone who they have decided to befriend, but a lot of times they refuse to listen to the information that we try to share to help them avoid those kind of situations. And then we need to question how much it is that we can do to keep them off the path they have chosen for themselves. And so often, We are trying to desperately to get them to see what it is that is clearly visible to us, but they lack the ability to recognize that maybe they've selected the wrong friends, they've gotten involved in something that's going to lead them into some illegal situation. It is difficult to figure out what role we're supposed to play. A lot of parents want to be their children's best friend and provide them with a safe haven to do things they shouldn't be doing. And that can always turn out very wrong. Cheryl, what are your thoughts about that when parents are trying to be their kids' best friends instead of being true parents?
Oh, we can't be their friends. I mean, they'll have to just get upset and do whatever. But, you know, as parents, we have to protect them because we can't bring ourselves to their level because we have the wisdom and the knowledge that they don't have at a younger age. And, you know, with mine, I talk all the time. I talk raw to them, you know, if I have to, whatever it takes. Now, if you determine that you're going to do things the way you want to do them, then I'm going to have to put my hands up and I'm going to have to let you be able to feel what I've been trying to tell you the whole time. But, you know, I just say, you know, we got to keep talking and we got to keep talking and no, we cannot be their friends. Not at all. We have to stay in our role as the parents. Now, once you grown and you out of the house and you got your own family, we can develop a different relationship. But as long as I'm leading and guiding you, then no, it can't be no, we can't hang out like that. We can't conversate like that. We can't even, you know, you can't cross the line. Because it's going to hurt
you. Yeah, because you have some parents who, you have parents or relatives who indulge the evils of their children or their relatives, and helping them to develop behaviors that are against, you know, our own way of thinking. You know, I've heard of parents who've supported their kids drinking, supported their kids getting high, you know, supported their kids by allowing them to keep stolen goods in their home. And you are not doing nothing but helping that child to believe that that kind of behavior is going to take them in the right direction. And the one thing I always counted on was for my mother and my father to be honest with me about what it was I was doing and where they thought it was going to take me. And I just appreciate the rules, universal rules of law that they instilled in my spirit, because it helped me to understand that there's no good can come out of me taking advantage of anyone else. And pretty much that kind of thought process kept me from doing or getting involved in a lot of things that might have been detrimental to my existence. So we have to learn how to help people fully understand the world that they live in and how hard the world will come down on you once you have exposed bad behaviors. Regina, what is your thought in this environment where we see how the justice system is willing to come down so hard on our children that it becomes even more important that we don't tolerate their bad behavior?
My phrase, my catchphrase now is, well, how did that work for you? How did that work for you? Let them go ahead and do exactly what it is that you told them not to do. And but we have to constantly tell them what is right and what is wrong. We have to expose them to the repercussions of our African American children. And it has to just be a constant, constant thing. Once you keep telling them something and you keep telling them and you keep telling them, at some point you've got to stop being an enabler and let them see it for themselves. How does that work for you?
All right, we're going to take another break and we're going to come back and have our final word.
Yeah.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Cheryl, what is your final thought for this evening? Regina, what is your final thought for this evening?
I want to that it is great to love your children, but let's not get love and enabling confused. And if you really love them, then don't enable them to do their wrongdoing.
And that is truly important, that we want our children to be a positive, have a positive effect on the world around them, and we don't want to cause them to believe that their outrageous behavior is going going to be acceptable to the world outside of themselves. And so we need to protect them from themselves by letting them know that there is a cost to be paid. Cheryl,
can you hear
are you
me?
Back with us?
Yes. I am. I'm sorry. I was trying to get back to the phone. I think the thing that my last thought is that we continue to be parents, the best parents that we know how to be, that not to be enablers, because we will keep our kids not learning, and we can also learn in the process, although it may hurt us. But in the long run, all will be better off, our kids and ourselves.
You're so right. And I just want to tell you guys how much I appreciate your support. I thank you for being there for me and for this platform that we're creating, because we're creating an opportunity for us to be able to have our voices heard on an array of different subjects. And we want to be helpful not only to ourselves, but to our communities, and make sure that we're doing and saying the things that will be give everyone an opportunity to evaluate how they deal with the issues as they present themselves to their own homes. I want to thank you guys, and I was tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, 5 o'clock West Coast Time, where your voice can be heard loud and clear. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Right.